when we were younger, when we were kids, you know, you don't know the dangers of certain things. So you may watch as an example. Now, you guys don't know anything about this, but I mentioned The Exorcist. Okay, you may watch something like that, and it's a movie, right. You know, it's a demonic movie that they, a presentation of being possessed. So that's, you know, and so you watch something like that, and it can open you up to fear or something. You may open up to something that you had no intention. You just thinking you're watching a movie. So you get an influence. And then now you're walking, you know, looking over your shoulder, you know. You know, so.
Anyway. Or you can get a spirit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. You become susceptible to that spirit that's trying to. And so your emotions is one of the main ways that things happen, which, you know, it's interesting in the teaching this morning that, you know, and thinking about, you know, entering into a permanent type of relationship, marriage relationship, okay, you know, and you can open yourself up to, you know, those good feelings. I feel good about this person, okay, and if it's not the person that God, you know, because some people can present very positive outwardly, but inside their motivation, they're being used. Their motivation is not, you know, to be a blessing to you. It is to, you know, overtake you in some way. So it's a need to really stay tuned to the Lord.
There was one situation I remember years back, 25 years back, somewhere there. We were helping somebody in their home, you know, in reconstruction of their home. And there were a few Christians invited to help. And as we worked, there was a girl we didn't really know well, nobody. And somewhere in the midst of the work, she started to manifest, you know, strange. So we quickly started to pray. She spoke no English, you know. And as we start praying, she went into, what would it be? Not fit. How do you say spiritual fit? Trance or, you know.
Possessed.
She was possessed, and she went into this, you know, situation where she was beside herself, you know, and let's, you know, we pray for her. And as we start praying, you know, rebuking, she went behind, we had to actually hold her hands physically because she was not there in her mind. Mm. And she started to, you know, beat herself, tear her hair and things. And she started to speak with a man's voice, perfect New Yorker English, as she spoke no English, you know. And the man was talking to us about her. He was addressing her, you know, she's mine, you know, I don't let her. And we prayed, and, you know, we were not really experienced. It's like 25 years back, and we were rebuking the spirit and wrestling with him. And somebody came and said, you know, she was cleaning a window, and she wrote on the window a name, Freddy, you know, on the dusty window. And so somebody came and says, we rebuke the spirit of Freddy, you know, and the spirit got really upset that we know his name. And then somebody said, there is a movie, whatever horror movie, you know.
Friday the 13th.
What is it?
Friday the 13th, isn't it?
No, it's something.
It's Freddy, yes, and I don't know.
Is it Freddy Krueger?
Yes.
There was a series back in the.
I never seen it, but somebody told me like it's something.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes. Maybe. And we rebuked him, and he was kind of, you know, unhappy that we know who he is, and somehow we managed to push him out. And she was in the midst of it, kind of waking up, you know, speaking in her voice, like, help me, help me. And then the spirit took over, and she speaks with a man's voice in English, arguing with us, you know, cursing us, and speaking about her, you know, you have no right because she invited me, you know, and things like this. We managed to rebuke him, push him out, and when she came to herself, you know, her, she had our fingers on her hands because she was strong, and two men are holding her to make sure she doesn't hurt herself, you know, she was strong for a girl. And then we asked about it, and she says yes. It was a movie that she went to, and a cinema, I suppose, then. And she said from that time, the spirit was coming in her dreams during the day and attacking her, you know, and wanted to have, you know, her as her, as his, you know, whatever. So you can actually, watching a movie, get a spirit of fear, which manifests only as a fear, or if you really open yourself up, you know, you can receive a spirit like that.
That is true. That is so true. And sometimes, you know, when you feel depressed, oppressed, you know, you feel pressure. It's coming from that influence of wickedness. The enemy is trying to, again, lay something on you. So you really have to, you know, kind of snap out of it, give up, and just remember that you are in a battle all the time. You know, and the battle is over.
There has been something for everybody over the course of the week.
I don't think he knows we can hear it.
I heard you just say that. I'll fix it. Forgive me for
anything. No, it's okay.
We just were not sure because I do it too.
Exactly.
I listen with headphones and still everything is out.
I'm just thinking the volume is quite low.
So sorry for the long answer. Hope it was useful. But yes, the devil can affect and influence your emotions and motivate them towards wrong directions. And he loves to do that.
Alright, next one. Where do you want to go?
What about Lucy?
How should I respond to someone when they say they were born gay?
Born again?
Born gay.
Born a gay. You want to answer that?
Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? They were born gay.
And they believe it.
Oh, it's gay? Yeah.
It's
a
homosexual.
Oh, what? It's born again.
Me too, but I thought it must be different.
So. Yeah, maybe that's the answer. You need to be born again. I mean, no, it's a serious question. So, one of my weaknesses is that I like to try to line things up for myself. So I cannot be lying for other people. But for sure, it sometimes depends on how you know the person. If you know the person, that you can really relate to them and talk with them, you can be honest with them. You know, you can say, I have a different opinion about that. You know, and maybe we need to take a look at it from what you think your situation is and what I think the my understanding is. But I think that the truth is always a good thing to present all the while. And I don't think that there's any, explanation that I like to hear that person's explanation and how they come to that conclusion. You know, then you could open up some scriptures with them that help out, you know. But I like to hear what they have to say before I, you know, respond. But I think you have to still be honest. You have to, you know, be honest and share what is the truth in the situation.
Why is it a problem if somebody tells you he's born as a gay? You can always tell him that there is no sin that cannot he be delivered of.
Not in that context.
Because I would lead people, you know, in that context, if they said they were born as gay, I say, well, some people are born as a pedophile, some people are born as alcoholics, some people are born, you know, in certain ways. Some people got it much later, but some people inherit it. There's their familiar spirits that can cultivate, and what's the word with a virus, that the virus changes?
Mutation.
Mutate. You know, maybe their parents were not gay, maybe they were just perverted, maybe you were not, you think you were born as gay, but you got the spirit much later, you know, but it doesn't matter, you know, where you get a spirit from, but what is important is, what do you want? You can be delivered, you know, you can be delivered, and if you tell me and start arguing whether it's right or wrong, first thing we have to settle is, what is your source of truth? If it's not Bible, then let's forget it, because there's no way you can win it. You know, if we don't agree what is the basic math formulas, then we can't derive anything from it. So what do you want? Do you want to just, you know, keep it like that? Is it your excuse? Or you know, but if they want to be with God, if they want to have a righteous life, we have a hope for them, you know, because there's nothing God can deliver you of.
Yeah, it's the 1 Corinthians 6:9 that says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, da-di-da-di-da, listed among the sinners." So
even Deuteronomy goes into, is it Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy goes to the blessings and the curses.
Oh yes. Yes, it's very clearly, I mean, in Bible it's very clear sin. It's very clearly wrong. But, you know, frankly, you know, I know some people who have different troubles. You know, some people have a spirit of schizophrenia, some people have a spirit of, you know, alcoholism, some people have a spirit of homosexuality. And I'm very glad I don't have to fight it, you know, some of these things. So I don't look at the people in a sense of, oh, you dirt. You know, you look at him and say, well, we can pray for you. You know, but when they boast about it, when they come, you know, in an arrogant way, you have to tell them, well, it doesn't matter what you think, but the Bible clearly says that you will not inherit the kingdom of God.
I just think that some people are really searching for something. They don't know what they're really searching for. And so sometimes if they have enough boldness or confidence in you to ask the question, that they really can open up a real positive discussion, you know. And but most of the time it is a kind of in you. I was at a seminar for youth on one occasion, and they had a panel of, you know, all the initials that they have, you know.
Permanent head damage?
You know, LBGT, and then questioning. They got some of the questioning now. You know, so folks, you know, anyway, you know, you're there listening, and at the panel of folks talking. One young lady, she was a college student, and had come out of the closet, or whatever that's all about. And everybody knew about her coming out. She was very open about it. Everybody knew about it, but her dad was the only person that she had not told or confided, was her dad. And she knew that if she told him, he's gonna cut her off from paying her college tuition. So she made sure everybody else knows, but not her dad. Okay. And she still wasn't sure if she wanted to marry a girl or if she wanted to marry a guy. She just, you know, just don't know, you know. So the height of confusion, the height of deception is there. And so sometimes one person, one friend that has the truth and presents it in a firm, loving way will at least cause some thinking, perhaps, you know, and then prayer, of course. But that was just so interesting to me that everybody knew what the dad, you know.
Do be redemptive. Yeah. You know, when you have God sent somebody your way, somewhere, you know, office, school, this, that, you know, I would be redemptive. I wouldn't look down at the people. But I, you know, some people before, you know, you try to tell me that they were born as a pedophile. As a gay, and I say, I know some people are born as a pedophile. What do you mean? I said, no, I'm, you know, I'm, you know, I'm with you, you know, but you can be delivered. But I'm not saying it is a wrong thing. Oh, I see. So what are you trying to say? You know?
A lot of people, too, you know, this is, you know, who wants to live in the world and always have to be wondering what's going on around? It's nice just to be able to relax sometimes. But some people are really trying to find out where you're at, trying to test. Mm. You test the waters to see what's going on with you. Mm. Okay, so they're trying, you know. Now, I'm not saying that's the case, okay, always, but sometimes it is the case. Mm. That the person is on a fact-finding exposition to see where, you know, if there's any room to, yeah. So we have to be wise. Have to be wise. Yeah. And especially in the world of sense, you know, be wise, because every demonic activity or spirit has no regard for your decency of any kind. So there's no respect for you, you know. You have to really be wise.
Yeah. I don't know if you answered the question whoever asked, but, you know.
I have one question that relates to that. I have been in situations when I've known some people and they, you know, came out and told me that, you know, they're gay. And I would be talking with, you know, these people. And this particular person, we were like talking and I was like, okay, you know, and I told him that that's not what I believe, that I believe that God created us. That created us man and a woman, and I told him that I think it's wrong. And I used, you know, an example that even in nature, you have male and female, that it's not, it's unnatural. And he said a very, you know, interesting thing. He said, well, there are animals that are also gay. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, if you, you know, I've read a lot of studies, and there are studies of, I recall lions and penguins and, you know, these animals. And actually, I went online and I really did find it that those animals, you know, two male penguins, they wouldn't care for the female. They would live together and be together. Lions, you know, female with female, male with male. And I really did find it. And I was like, okay. And I didn't know how to answer that or respond to that. So,
yeah, and also they have, they talk about, there are animals that don't necessarily subscribe to gender in the way that we would understand, like male or female. Yes. They have, like, there's this fish, I think,
yeah,
that they're born and they...
they
there's
can,
like
they
one male and there's four females.
And then,
and
like,
the male dies, one of
then
the
one of the males becomes a female or something.
Yeah.
Like very weird. So like these are the things that they
It sounds seemingly clever, but I don't really understand the question, because alright, we do have flowers, we do have things in animals, there are animals that don't have legs, there are animals they don't have that, there are lions that are born without a leg or without a tail, you know, what are we saying? I mean, the nature, unfortunately, because of some things, is perverted, you know, so you find different things. Are we trying, based on seeing infirmities in nature, trying to say that it's normal? No, it's not normal. You know, I mean, we don't respect. If you look at these things, the way God created them, He created them for a purpose. And this is the reproduction and all these things. So the normal way God had in mind from the beginning is that these things work together. Mm-hmm. I don't need to tell you that the male and male cannot reproduce and all these things. So God created us functional. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if people or animals become dysfunctional in any way, because it's dysfunctional. It's like if you take a phone and start using it for something else. You know, well, yeah, but that's not what it was created with.
Mm.
You know, and if you ask at our physical bodies, and you look at the, you know, the differences in men and women, it was done for a purpose. No?
Mm-hmm.
Even for lion. You know, well, yes, there are some animals that work differently. Of course, so what? You know, but for, you have to, either, the basic question is, do you believe creation, do you believe at all in the Bible? Because if not, I'm not holding this discussion. There's no point. You know, there's no point trying to explain people who have a different basis. You have to start there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will be trying to say, well, it's normal. And you say, well, it's not.
Because they are coming from the point of Darwin's evolution. And therefore they liken you, and their arguments and the debate is based on the evolutionistic ideas. But we are not part of the animal world.
Yeah.
We believe the Bible, we believe the Word of God.
Maybe you can read the Romans.
Yes.
You know, sorry?
Romans.
Yeah, Romans 1, you know, why when they didn't, you know, celebrate, not celebrate, what's the English word? Glorify, I know I didn't check. Glorify the Lord, you know, maybe you find it.
It says, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His internal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Say, imaginations. Their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible, uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
And then it follows.
Yeah. For this cause God gave them up unto their vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving a natural use of a woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in them the recompense of their error, which was meat.
If somebody says, you know, it's natural, you have to do something with your brain, you know, because if you study the body, you know, and you can explain why the finger is working the way it is, why the nail is there, you know, and why you have ears and the function of the ears, you know what I mean? And then when you go to reproduction system, I mean, there's no question, you know, like people say, I don't know if I'm man or woman. Well, just check. you know, I mean, I wouldn't even go to this discussion. And of course, some people can be born in many ways
handicapped,
and you know, it's a different story, of course. But they are not talking about this story. It's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But normally, you know, it's this. If you have a problem in your soul or somewhere, I am not laughing about it. I'm not, you know, saying, oh, what, yuck, you know. I take it and treat it as an infirmity, which maybe you are partially victim of. You know, there are people who struggle with spiritual alcoholism. And, you know, I take it as a victim in a part, yes. You know, so we can pray, we can help you, we can, you know. But don't give me that nonsense that it's according to nature. Then how does it work? Go to biology lesson and explain me.
Mm.
And of course not. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. So the answer is in Romans that it says in the verse 26 that which is against nature. So these infirmities or, you know, malfunctions and handicaps, things are
deviations.
Against nature. The Greek is very clear. It's para, and nature is physis. I mean, against.
Metaphysical?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the people before, not anymore, because it's not politically correct, but they used to call it deviations. Mm. You know, the people were deviants.
Yeah, but it has this connotation of, you know, like guadal.
Negative or
yes.
You know, and the idea is it deviates from the norm. You know,
the norm.
So we are not laughing at it, but we are not trying to.
Excuse it.
And the norm is there is a male and there is a female and they form a family and they reproduce. So all that nonsense, I don't know what is in America, but in Europe, some of the countries, they get crazy. You know, they change. In London, they wouldn't say anymore, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like,
what did he say?
Good morning, passengers. Because if you don't know if you're a lady or, you know.
Just this Christian. This Christian,
somebody who can identify with one of the
others.
He was sacked just because he said.
Now, this is weird thing.
He's too correct.
Yeah. A young child, go, or come here, or something like that.
It was even worse. It was a girl that says, I feel like a boy, you know, and he calls and they are doing some art, and exactly. He says, hey girls, finish it. And he, you know, says, well, I'm not, oh, sorry. You know, he apologized right there, you know, and still they sue him and fire him. Did they fire him eventually?
Yes, they fired him. He's suing them.
Yeah. In Norway, you know, they changed the formulas if you want to, you know, write, you don't have mother and father anymore, you have parent one, parent two, you know, and zillion other things like this, you know, in schools they ordered, you have toilets, and there's male, female, and
gender inclusive
as well. In between.
Name question mark?
Undecided, you know.
In case you can't figure out.
Don't buy it, it's rubbish, go to Bible, go to biology books, you know, there's nothing like in between, there's male, female, and then you have some problems you can be helped with.
And there's one more thing. When you see those fights, these legal fights over adoption of children by gays and lesbians, the greatest danger in it is that for a child that is brought up in a home of parent one and parent two, whatever gender that is, mm-hmm. you know, for that child is already becoming a norm. Mm. The child loves those who bring them up, mm-hmm. whether it's grandma, grandpa, aunt or uncle or two uncles. The child is already, it's a new generation rising up then and being raised in
it's
something
normal.
That they consider normal, and they will fight for death for it because it's mom and whoever mom.
Mama. Mom and mommy.
Remember paraphysis, that's a new Greek word
paraphysis
for you to learn.
Against nature.
Against nature, paraphysis. Romans 1:27?
26.
Yeah, I think the real important thing for us is to really know what it is that we believe. Know that you're with God, you're for God. Because if that is the foundation, not that I'm saying we don't, but I'm saying that if that's the foundation, when the question comes, okay, you're gonna stop it because you're gonna say, you know, I'm believing that God made us, okay, you know, so that's gonna stop the question from going much further, okay, unless the person is really interested in knowing how to, you know, be changed, how to come into the knowledge of God. So, and part of the question is coming to try to shake the foundation that we have. Yeah, and so don't just believe that it's not just aberrant. It's not just, you know, happenstance. It really is a purposeful directive to try to assault, you know, the foundation of the true believer.
Yes. There was a debate. I don't know whether I heard it or what. A Christian debate, you know, about this. And the guy who represented a church as senior pastor or bishop or someone like that, they said, well, but You know, because he was defending homosexuality. And I said, but in the Bible, you know, the unbelievers, the media people, but in the Bible it says, you know, Jesus clearly said, they quoted it,
they were asking him?
Yes, mm-hmm. You know, because there was a church debate, and there was one speaking against homosexuality, one speaking pro-homosexuality, both of them in church, all of them in church. And he says, well, yes, but even Jesus had a limited knowledge. So this one, for this one, he was wrong. If he would be living today, you know, with the knowledge we have, he would see differently. So that's the one Jesus was wrong on.
And what knowledge was that? What knowledge do we have now that's different from?
I don't know, but you know, people have to. In a way, he was right in a certain way. If you admit that, you have to say Jesus is wrong. Mm. And then the next question is, where else is he wrong? And you just have a domino effect. Mm. You just throw this out of the window because, you know, it doesn't apply. Now you are the judge as a person. Where is God right and where God is wrong? You know, and in that case, you can't choose in between. You can't. You know, you either accept Bible as Bible, and it's clearly speaking, mm-hmm. or you have to reject the Bible and then believe whatever you want to believe. People are not only marrying same sex, they are marrying animals. Yeah, like the lady recently married herself.
Someone married a poster.
A tree. You know, and serious thing, she had a marriage, then she went to honeymoon with herself, you know. Because she said before, if I'm until 35, if I don't find a husband, I'm not wasting my life, I marry myself, you know. And seriously.
She had a cake.
Pictures.
She had a what?
Cake.
She had a cake, you know, wedding cake, everything.
Wedding dress, honeymoon,
dress.
You know.
She married herself.
How can it be a marriage?
I don't know.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah, two parties.
Two personalities.
An alter ego.
I don't know.
She might have an alter ego.
There are three parties. Me, myself, and I.
Now, seriously, I mean, you know, when people start going one direction, then you can confront them with the other things. Mm-hmm. You know? And I say, well, if you have schizophrenia or paranoia or homosexuality, you know, it could be treated. Mm. You know, I feel sorry. I can help you, but it is a...
You can't tell them that.
I do.
I know you do. I couldn't.
Well, especially this guy, he pretends to be Christian, if I'm not mistaken. You know, so...
Well, it's simple in the fact that it's characterized as sin as being no different from any other sin.
Right.
See, that's where the whole thing is being twisted and turned on its head, in that, oh, I'm born that way, so there was nothing I could do about it.
Mm.
You understand? It's a nature.
Must be right.
It must be right. You know, or people that go trans. Well, I really identify with a girl, even though physically I'm a male.
So.
You know, so, and I heard a guy say one time, and I thought it was very good, in confronting somebody or dealing with somebody that was confessing to be homosexual or gay. You know, and here again, you know, we utilize the terms that the world has put on it. Mm. Gay shouldn't really be part of our vocabulary, because originally the word gay
was happy.
Happy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
and they're using the rainbow. They're now using the rainbow.
Right.
The correct term is homosexuality.
Yeah.
You know, sodomy. but anyway, the guy was relating a testimony when there was a person who came and was being convicted, and they were saying, "Well, I'm this and this," and he didn't blink an eye. He didn't bat. He says, "You know, I understand your dilemma. I had the same problem, only my sin was alcohol or whatever it was."
Exactly.
You know, it just, there's a, you know, you don't use the front door, mm-hmm. see, because it's already being prepped for a defense if you try to go through the front door,
mm-hmm.
come around to the back door, you know, and I thought it was very good in that he didn't argue with the fact of what he felt like he was, mm-hmm. and didn't have any control over it. He just went through the back door and addressed it for what it really was. Sin.
Huh? And exactly. You know, you don't argue with him whether, you know, he was born alcoholic or not. You know. Okay, so you were born alcoholic. So what? I mean, what can I do for you? Because when exactly when you start fighting with them and saying, well, no, you got it later, how do you know? He might have inherited a spirit.
Right.
Yeah. What do you say to someone who argues that if somebody divorces someone in the church, they get to stay, but if someone comes out, then they're abolished from the church?
So if somebody divorces in a church,
yeah,
they have to.
They get to stay in the church, but if someone is homosexual, people automatically.
I see.
That's a tricky question.
Well, no. That's the question is when they divorce, you know, and they don't repent, they can't stay.
You say that all sins are the same.
Of course, I agree. I mean, why have they divorced? Let's say, for example, let me explain that first. We don't take people out of church because they have sinned, but because they remain in a sin. Okay? You come rebuke somebody, he repents. I mean, you have people, murderers in church. You know, they were Christians. I know about person. You know, he was a Christian. He committed a murder. You know. And wasn't actually in prison, not Nicky Cruz, the other guy, Israel?
Israel, not a mess.
I think he did commit a murder, didn't he?
No, he didn't commit the murder, but he was with the guys, and together they...
One guy
from the group carried a gun and shot the other person. He didn't do it.
So that's committing murder by association.
So
you know, and he is a preacher or he's in a church. So we don't take people out of church because they have sinned, but because they remain in sin and they don't want to repent. So if somebody was fighting homosexual spirit, you know, he was even involved or something like this, but he's repentive and he's repenting, you don't take people out of church.
Okay.
You know, there's a brother I know, you know, that struggled, you know, with certain adultery type of situation. You know, he couldn't, and he came and repenting and weeping and all this, and he tried to help and pray. I think he was delivered eventually. You don't take people out of church. You know, when somebody's divorced, I mean, why? What has happened? You know, what is the situation when they repent? I don't know what
you see, but
I don't see a difference between this one or that one, you know. Yes, every sin is the same in a way. The question is if you remain in it. You know, if you didn't repent, if you say, well, I believe otherwise, you know, I'll be living with whoever I want to, you know. Then the Bible clearly says that to save his soul, you release the person to, and you can excommunicate the people, but not because they have committed a sin and repented. Mm. If I'm answering your question.
Yeah.
If you want to add anything.
No, I think that's a good answer. Yeah. Most time, I think that the Holy Spirit will bring a conviction to your life if you want to stay with the Lord. I mean, and if you are not listening to that inward conviction, the Lord always, this is not what you're saying, but the Lord always exposes, you know, the situation or the problem. He always exposes. And so it's going to come out, you know, and that's when the Lord makes it known, that's when you deal with it. A lot of times the Lord will give us an opportunity to, you know, repent in a closed kind of situation, okay, where it's not, you know, known to everyone. And if that doesn't take heed, you know, you don't take heed to that, then the Lord will expose the situation. Because, and a lot of the time when the Lord exposes something, it is because that sin will try to mutate and spread and create problems. And if you see something as an example that's not right and it's not addressed, it's going to affect how you relate and think about, you know, God and other things. So sometimes you need to protect the environment and not allow sin to have dominion in the congregation, for sure. So it needs to be dealt with.
Read A Cross and a Switchblade, if you haven't, from David Wilkerson. Cross and a Switchblade from David Wilkerson. I think it's must read for everybody of your age. You know. Who has read it? Half of you, kind of. Cross and a Switchblade, David Wilkerson. And, you know, he was dealing. I don't know anybody who was so anointed in reaching those people, drug addicts and these people like David Wilkerson. You know, and they had people who were born again, you know, they repented. A few months later, they are back to drugs, back to prostitution. You know, they came, repented again, they helped them, you know, and the people struggled. Some of them 3-4 times fell into drugs, you know, and they were always open doors, but when they were in it and they didn't want to repent, they have to leave. The church / the, I don't know how they call the houses where they were helping them, you know. And it's the same thing. You know, we have to be children of our Father. You know, He goes extreme measures to reach. Okay? But He wouldn't compromise with sin because that's not helping us, neither the society. So when you are in rebellion and in the midst of your sin, He is not making it a little issue, but whenever you're ready to repent, He'll go measures to do anything He can for you.
There is a scripture for that, 1 Corinthians 5:9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to accompany with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother
has a name as a brother,
be a fornicator or covetous or an adulterer or drunkard or extortioner, whatever, with such a one know not to eat.
What scripture is
it? It's 1 Corinthians 5:9. I'm sorry for my English pronunciations. 9, 10, 11.
It was a huge problem in Corinth, by the way. The whole situation. In other words, you have somebody you're working with, you know, they are not married, and they live together. That's world.
They're worldly.
You know, they're worldly, it's a world. Mm. They don't say they're Christians or anything. You just work with them, go for lunch with them, you know, that's... as Paul says, you would have to leave the world. I mean, you don't go to shop because, you know, excuse me, I'm ready to buy bread. Are you married properly? Everything is fine, you know? Of course not. But when somebody proclaims he is a Christian and he does these things, you know, not he falls into them. You know the difference? Okay. As I said, you know, in some fellowships I know about people who are falling into, you know, bad stuff. That's not it. But when they live in a certain way, not repenting, not changing, they live in the way, you actually have to, what's the word, shun the person?
Yeah, you know? Not eat.
Not eat, okay. Yeah.
And, you know, if you know David Wilkerson and people who are dealing with these people, one of the things they are really explaining to the parents, as a parent, it's not helping if you tolerate it. You know, it's tough. They call it tough love. Mm-hmm. You know, it's important to tell the kid, you know, 16, 20, whatever, you can't. You know, anytime you repent, the door is open. But if you don't change, you're out the door. You know, and that's the only way. They have zillion experiences with the people. We have some people who worked for the organizations in our church, you know, Martin Hloska and others.
Misha
and others. You know, and it's one of the things that is very important. You know, you repent, the door is open. You want to stay that way? I can't even pretend we are friends, go eat, and yeah, fine.
Okay, next question.
I have a question. The issue in the news that's kind of come and gone over the past few years, making cakes for a gay couple.
Right.
What is the position that we should hold? You know, we do business in the world. So do we take it as a, hands off, we're not going to deal with you on any business transaction? Or, you know, what is the stance that we should take?
Well, be careful there with the question, because his problem was not making a cake for a gay or gay couple. It was about portraying the gay marriage on the cake.
Mm.
You know the story. It was a Christian. It was a Christian.
Yeah, I know the story, but I thought it was about making a cake altogether.
No, they wanted a cake, and he said, "I would not mind to make a cake for anybody. If you are gay, we are not questioning our clients." But they wanted. By the way, it was provocation. They didn't like the guy, and they provoked. But even if not.
Yeah.
They wanted to portray, you know, like on a cake, you have the bride and the bridegroom, you know, kissing or standing next to each other or whatever. And they wanted the two men, two male, you know, I don't know what position, but it doesn't matter. And he said, "I'm sorry, I'm Christian. I can make a cake, but I can't do this. You know, this is against my faith." So, in other words, if they ask you to fix a car, or if they buy bread from you, I don't see a problem with that. But if they would ask me, for example, I'm a trainer, you know, in business. If I train people and there is sitting a homosexual in the class, I didn't tell him I'm not doing business with you, you know. But if he asks me do a training, you know, where you will be promoting homosexuality, or where you change in your training these things that you say, well, this is okay, then I decline. Take me to prison. Stop my business. I can't. So do we stop business with sinners? No, we don't. But do we join them promoting things and say things are okay? No, we don't.
When it says be in the world, be not part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Of it.
Brother De Silva once said, pathetically, I would say, he said, you know, well, now we are living in peculiar time. You want to sell something, you sell it to the devil. You want to buy something, the devil sells it to you, you know. When you do transactions, do you remember a statement?
Yeah, I bought a Bible here for somebody recently. Guess where it's printed? China.
Of course. Sorry.
A Bible.
Printed in China.
They're an anti-Bible country.
Yeah.
Printed in China.
But they're business people.
Yeah.
And where there's a market for Bibles, they're printing them.
Well, did we answer a question? Yeah. If you have some particular example, you can bring it. But the main idea is doing business with people. Unfortunately, you don't know who they are, and if you do, but that guy, and I'm supporting him. You know, I would almost send money for him to keep in business or something like this.
If it's the same one, I just saw an article that, and see, this is the corruption in the court. They ruled that he has to pay damages to the one that is offended.
Yeah.
In this case, it's like $135,000.
For what purpose? Why?
For what?
To make an example.
Say, what damages did he do to
because he refused to comply to a request based on his religious belief or his Christian belief. say, but see, they're making it a political example.
Mm.
You know, they're firing a shot across the bow of all Christian business owners.
No, don't.
And
it can't pass.
It did.
Is it the highest court?
I have to see if I can find the article again.
You know, those Muslims would drag you down by your hair if you try to, in any way, assault their faith. And here the Christians are so attacked and nobody...
Yeah, I'm sure there's a fund where we can send money if we wanted to.
Hope so.
But...
No, this is something we have to pray. And seriously, we have to speak. You know, speak up. And this is one of the things God gave us. Remember, everybody is Elohim, even those people. And the only way how we can save the souls is by the word.
Mm.
So we have to speak the word, preach the word, send the word, copy the word, you know, whatever. That's the only way. If we are quiet and they speak, they are taking the devil's word, you know, and making the souls, turning them into devils.
Mm.
So we have to pray and not be quiet in our environment. Don't be shy. You know, if you end up in a prison, we will send you oranges, you know, or something. But
bananas.
Well, seriously, I mean, yeah, we should be in your environment, speak and say, this is not righteous, this is not right.
Mm.
You know, he has convictions, okay, but I have convictions too.
Yes.
And now you're crossing my rights. By the way, I believe it is only a question of time where some of us will be there in a situation like this to be tested. So it's good to pre-think it, prepare it. You know, that we know how we, you know, in schools or whatever you are dealing with people in school, right? Or with your children.
Well, yeah, no, not too much anymore. But yeah, it's for sure. I mean, there's no getting away from it. It's the line of demarcation is clearly drawn. Is, you know, you believe something for the Lord, and you don't. You know, and there's no getting around it. And some of the things are very subtle. You know, I mean, just everyday kind of dealings. It's not so much that you know, it seems like it's just coincidental, but no, it's very much purposeful. You know, the mindset and the agenda that wickedness has. You know, but the Lord says that the transgression shall come to a fullness, and at the same time, the sons of God should be, you know, be ready at the midnight hour. So that's the battle that we're in, and that's the signs of the time. So there's no better time to be alive.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another one?
Another question? Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. So I've heard it in, I don't know, several messages at least, where the person ministering has said, when we receive the blood of Jesus, we receive the totality of God, and specifically the omnipresence of God, the omnipotency, you know, the omni-character of God. But in the Gospels, we see at times where, I mean, Jesus was not in two places at once. He was only in one place. And there's times where, you know, the Father, he said, the Father did not reveal this unto me. So, it, you know, we are not to be greater than Jesus. We're to do, Jesus did say we do things greater than he did. But, you know, do we have the omni of God? I mean, obviously, if we are not walking with God daily, we cannot. But, you know.
Okay, that's a good question. I think you have to distinguish between having God in your soul, who is omnipresent and omnipotent and omniscient, okay, and you immediately becoming omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. That's different. It's almost like I have a... Do you think I have all the knowledge?
No.
No, but I have this. Of course, it doesn't have all the knowledge, but let's now pretend for a moment that internet does. Okay, so when I receive this, I received all the knowledge. In other words, you have God who has. You have access to internet, or forgive me for liking to internet, God to internet, but you have access, if you receive God, to all power, all presence. If he wants to translate you, he can translate you from anywhere to anywhere in a twinkling of an eye. He can tell you and disclose you any information he wants to. Like Christina yesterday was sharing, you know, there were 30 questions about a guy she never met before. Were you here, all of you?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes, okay.
So, was she, do you think she's omni, which one is it?
Omniscient.
No, omniscient is... Yes,
all-knowing,
okay. So do you think Christina is omniscient? Omniscient? No. But she has omniscient God. And if he chooses in that moment, he did tell her things, and the guy said, how come? You know the difference. So Jesus was actually dependent on God revealing him things. The scripture says Jesus didn't need to know that the people would tell him about themselves. Because he knew. In other way, he had access to God, and if God told him, he knew. If God says, you know, I'm keeping this, he didn't know. In other words, do you think Jesus spoke all the languages?
No.
No. But if somebody came and spoke Czech, that would be funny. Czech wasn't there yet, but if somebody spoke Czech and God gave him understanding, he would understand it. But he did speak no Czech. Do you think he understood all chemistry and physics and, you know, and if you came to him and say, maybe you could beat him in chess?
Yeah, he said that somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Possibly. You know, you could beat Jesus in chess. I mean, our being perfect is not in a sense that now we become superheroes, you know, outrunning everybody, you know. How would Christians play chess with Christians then? So that's not it, but you have God who... if he chooses so, can advise you or tell you things. So we receive blood. In the blood, there is the nature of God, and you have opened your spirit, you know, to access. You have free access to God. So there's difference between accepting God who is omniscient and you becoming omniscient.
Is it wrong if you have a personal, difficult, traumatic experience with being disciplined as a child and you don't want to discipline your children even though the Bible says you should, but you just can't bring yourself to do it?
Well, let's generalize the question, okay? I'll generalize a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Is it wrong if Bible says that something is right and you can't or don't want to do this? The obvious answer is yes. But again, okay, God is not theologian or somebody who says do's and don'ts. Okay, if you've been abused as a child, or if something happened like this, you know, in any way, then of course you need to be delivered and healed. But yes, it's wrong. For example, somebody could say the same story and say, hey, is it wrong? I've been abused, you know, or something like this, and I can't imagine marrying one day a man. You know what I mean? Well, yes, it's wrong, honey. We would like to pray with you. We would like to, you know, suffer with you. And no, we're not blaming you. We're not saying, you know, you should, you have to. You know, we are saying, oh, poor little child, what we can do for you? You know what I mean? But it's wrong, isn't it? You know, there's a scar, there's a something that needs to be healed and delivered. You know, and of course, you don't want to take it all to the next generations.
Yeah.
So, whoever asks, they, you know, you can access an elder or somebody and pray about. Bible gives you clear instructions, and whenever you don't comply. I don't know if it's a good word to comply. whether you don't resonate with the Word of God, you know, there's something wrong on your side. But again,
be doers of the Word.
Yes, but what I mean is, I understand that people went through different things, and I am not taking. We have counseled different people from different countries, different cultures. You know, they have multiple wives. They have, you know, things happening. We don't even want to. You know, we are so fortunate in the environment we are. You know, and people went through bad situations, and you don't want the advice from a, you know, clever Christian,
dogmatic
Western, no problemo, you know, attitude. You know, you want to hear from God how He can advise and help and bring deliverance and redemption to the people. But yes, whenever there is something which is not in line with the scriptures, it's wrong.
Is it wrong if it's the mother only or mainly disciplining her children and the father doesn't really participate?
Simple question, but the answer is absolutely yes. You want to say more that I don't speak all the time?
You're doing a great job.
Yeah. So it's wrong?
Absolutely.
There should be a balance. Now, you have situations where there things are out of balance in the home, and that can be the result. But from a biblical perspective, there should be that proper balance. In terms of husband and wife, share the responsibility. Now, the husband is the one who sets that position of authority in terms toward the children and backs mom up.
Okay.
Society, you know, the father is often outside the home working during the day, mom is with the kids, and you know, so sometimes there's that necessity that the child is transgressing to a point that dad needs to reinforce that he is not going to tolerate any kind of disrespect, disobedience toward the mother. And you're not going to treat your mom, you know, you're going to correct a problem before it becomes a nature.
There are clear scriptures, of course, where they speak very clearly about the role of the father, you know, that actually, I would, if I use biblical terminology, forgive me, because that's King James, if, you know, father is not loving you and
chastening you,
you are a bastard. You know, not a child. So you know, from his perspective, in other words, it's not your fault, okay? But the biblical principle is father whom he loveth chastises, you know. So it is the role of a father. But of course, very often, as Barak is saying, the mother can be there, you know. So if you're asking my mom, actually, or some other's mom was admonishing the blessing more often than the father, I would say it was
I like that.
You know, it was the case in our home too, I would think, possibly, that, you know, you were more often around and perhaps you were blessing the children more often than me. But it didn't, if you ask the children, they would never say that dad was not there to, you know. Yes, I was. And as Berg said, some things were escalated to me, you know, as an escalation level. But it is wrong. And the main wrong, and the only wrong perhaps, is on the father. He has to repent and take his position.
And I suppose it could be vice versa too.
If man doesn't do anything, right. True.
And it's wrong too in the fact that then you have the behavior or the lack of on one part of one parent is actually working against the endeavor of the other parent to try to do right.
Next.
If we are to be perfect now, why are we waiting for the parousia? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed.
Well, don't. Don't wait.
Well, no.
Go for it.
Not waiting in the sense of sitting around doing nothing. But,
there's an expectation?
Well, I guess... for example, okay, so I've been, you know, I'm 21, have been in this word for 21 years, essentially. My dad has been in it longer than I have, and my grandpa longer than him. Mm-hmm. And so I would think, you know, theoretically, my grandpa would be closer than me.
Well, I would think so too.
Closer than me.
Okay.
So how is it that...
It's not the case?
That we... No, not that, but that we would all at the exact same time reach the same point.
Well, that's interesting. But let me kind of elaborate on the question before I elaborate on the answer. Frankly, with your dad and your grandfather, their problem is not parousia. Their problem is Esbil, as my problem is Klusen. You could ask me or them fair questions, say, hey, dad, you know, and granddad, shouldn't you have been further by now? Mm-hmm. And if I may reply on their behalf, the answer is yes, and I'm sorry. You know, so... You know, it's. I say about myself, you know, I pray sometimes and I read the scripture. By now, you should have been teachers and masters. Why do we have to still be talking? And I say, God, how come I'm for 25 years still struggling with this kindergarten problem? You know, you can outrun. You know, in other words, let's not take it as an excuse. I would have been perfect if it was not that I have to wait for, you know, his coming. No, that's not the case. We are the ones holding us back. But there is this principle that God doesn't want, for some reason, God had in mind something better. The day without us wouldn't come to perfection. Okay, so somehow he has in mind the desire that we come in the last bit of perfection, we all achieve at the same time for some reason, right?
The scripture comes to me, beloved, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but this we know, that when he shall appear, this is your only hope. And this is your only assurance we really have, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Doesn't say before. Really.
And if you continue, it says...
But you have to be ready.
For we shall see him,
like him as he is, and every man that has this hope in him
purifies himself as
just
pure.
As he is pure.
Yes, yes. So you are trying. Yet God is still holding on this peace.
And
till the parousia.
Yes. I remember once I was struggling with this question, not this question, but similar thing, and I said, Lord, I don't see the difference, or I don't see the balance, or how it does it work. It seems like in the Bible it's clearly said that we should go and become holy. You know, like if it's my responsibility. And elsewhere in the Bible it's clearly said, I can't do this. It'll be done by God. So, I mean, is it my job or is it his job? Should I try? Or does he come and does it for me? And there's scripture in Philippians, and it clearly says that we should, I'll paraphrase it again, you have to help in English, but it's like you should run as if you could obtain. How is it in English? Yes, and then you're apprehended by him. Do you know which one I mean?
Philippians 3, Christopher the Mark, I call him God in Christ Jesus.
It's the airplane verse.
I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, you know, not looking behind, but looking ahead to the things that are before. And he goes on to say that, look at 3:10, Philippians 3:10, and we'll get to the middle of it.
You know, and he showed me a picture of a plane. Do you know how a plane is lifted? Do you know the physics of it? Yeah. The plane, when I was a child, I thought the plane is lifted in a way that, you know, it has the wings like this, and there's this air, and it pushes the air, and kind of on the air is lifted. It's not true. It's in a different way. The plane is lifted this way, okay, because the shape of the wing is in a way done that the air which is going around it on is faster and slower, okay, and it creates a pressure, so it's actually sucked up. Yeah, so this is the way it's lifted. So actually the plane puts the thrust and effort to go forward, and at certain time, you know, it created by the effort going forward. I mean, the plane has no ability to go up, but it can go forward, and at certain speed, you know, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that A may apprehend. In the Greek it's really like, as if I may, you know, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Mm. So it says, I run.
Read a little further, because it gets better. Just keep reading.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one I think I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before.
Keep going a little further. You're going to get better yet.
Yes.
Let's get one verse.
I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
One more.
Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you.
Yeah, if you start slipping away, God is going to let you know you're slipping. Get back in again, get going, get more. And one more verse.
Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing.
Right, the place that you're at, don't, you know, just keep moving, don't go back, okay? Let us mind the same diligence, the same faithfulness, the same desire, the same motivation. Get it going, rekindle the flame. Okay, you know, now what's happening though with perfection, I think part of it is there will be people, okay, when Christ comes, when he comes, and those that are going to be like him, those that are going to be, Ephesians says, he's going to present the church to himself. Okay, anyway, there are going to be people here who have attained a certain level that Christ is on. Okay, the body has come to fit the head. But yet, there will be another 1,000 years where people will be coming. You know what I'm saying? So that this perfection is coming to the people who are in pursuit of it, diligently, faithfully, desiring it. The one scripture, and I think it's 2 Timothy, I think it's 1:10 or 2:10. It says that God, Christ, has abolished death, and he's brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So that abolish death, take care of death, and life and immortality, he brought it to light. And as we are able to believe it, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Believing it and appropriating that faith, you know, for that change. Yeah.
Advertisement. We ask Brother Mark Yancey to come to check. We would like to make a, we call it a table talks, and we explicitly ask him one of the subjects will be the 13 weapons of the devil. Mm-hmm. You remember how he mentioned it? And then another one would be this one. What is the perfection in? What's the difference in dying, not perfect? What's happening then after you die? You died imperfect. And how is it with us? How are we going to meet? What's the perfection about? And all these questions we are touching now. So whoever interesting can come to check for talks.
I had a question quite similar to that, or quite similar to what you're saying about perfection, how are we supposed to be? You know, in Hebrews 12, it says, just men made perfect. Like in Mount Zion,
The spirit of just men.
Yeah, the spirit of just men perfect. I believe Brother Jasil, in one of his messages, he said that the spirits of just men made perfect will come to perfection as they walk with us on this earth, because it's only by being on this earth that you're able to overcome. So like, if someone has the spirit of anger now, that person in heaven but was attained a certain level of perfection, but it did not fully overcome that spirit of anger, the Lord, because it says there are clouds of witnesses around us, so with that would, I think what Brother Jasil was saying, that same spirit would follow this person and try and experience the same, go through, try and overcome the same spirit of anger. I don't know, is that how just men are made, like the spirits of just men are perfect?
I think
it's part of it, yes.
Yeah, but I think though that the Lord would say something like this. He would say, be holy, for I am holy. He's like, okay, Lord. You know, but what he means, when he tells you something like that, he has something that we need to receive in order to make that happen. So in this case here, the spirit of just men made perfect has to me. Again, I would qualify that. But I believe that the unction, the anointing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because man, God is a spirit, and they that are joined to God, they join to God spirit to spirit. So that when the Holy Spirit comes into your spirit, then that aspect of you has received in total God in your spirit. But the problem is, where does it need to get you? It needs to get into the soul. So the problem, I think that what Brother says, what I think talking about with the cloud of witnesses, is that an individual, the thief on the cross, he used that example, the thief on the cross who died that day and had not reached a level of maturity or perfection, okay, is gone now, say, going into the heavenly, and is able to view you know, how we are walking, how we are running our race. Yes. And if he had some issues of being a thief, he could maybe see a thief who had overcome, and that's how you do it. You submit to the presence of the Lord or whatever. Okay, so I think that kind of a thing.
Okay.
But there may be more to the spirit of just men being made perfect, but it seems that when the Holy Spirit comes into your spirit, then that a work has been done in your spirit to begin the process of delivering your soul, and your soul is consequently flowing into the body.
Okay.
But the main answer in this would be the only thing holding you back from being perfect is you. It's available. And there's so much space we haven't taken yet.
Mm.
You know, so the earth, you know, there is explanation when is happening what. But again, we haven't, what is it? We haven't fought our sin up to... We haven't resisted unto blood. We still, at least I do, I'm kind of suspicious that you would be in the same shoes. You know, that we haven't resisted yet. with a full strength.
Mm.
We still play with it.
Mm.
Yeah, I just think that our ability to really believe God has a lot to do with the change that we're going to come into.
Yes.
To really believe, thus saith the Lord, you know, because that somehow the hold of Hebrews 11, you know, is speaking of testimony of people that believe God.
Yes.
And
it's the faith that overcomes the world,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, yes, yes. Even our faith. Yeah. So I think that whatever blindness or blinders need to be removed from us to be able to believe God, you know, based on what the Lord has said, will get us moving, you know, faster in the direction that God wants to take us.
Okay. Makes sense. Do you want another one? Okay. Why weren't the great men of God in the Bible able to train their children up righteously?
I know. Why is that?
I'm asking you.
I know. I'm asking God. You know, I had the same question. Was it missing revelation? But look at them, you know. Even Samuel.
Yeah.
Not only Eli, but even Samuel, David, you know, Solomon, not even Jacob. Speaking about.
Jacob,
Job, you know, all of them. Obviously, it seems that they were missing something. There's a scripture that he will come to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to fathers. It seems almost like it's a revelation of, you know, revelation of after Christ type of thing.
Mm.
You know, I was asking the same question. But again, I believe that when he came, you know, to turn the hearts of the children to fathers and vice versa, we can do this.
Mm.
You know, but David obviously failed big time there, you know.
I think... Brother Mark, he said they had too many wives.
They what?
They had too many wives.
You know what? It is true too. You know, and not only too many wives, but they had wives which were, you know, not the right wives, yeah. Often among the right wives.
Mm.
You know, so that's definitely one of the things. You know, that they are.
Well, I think you're right. I think that still was a problem of the flesh, problem, the weaknesses in the flesh, and I think that has to die. You know, it has to give way. Now, I'm not suggesting that it's easy, but I'm just saying it's a part of the problem. And when we see it happening in these guys' life, I mean, some of the most wonderful testimony. Could you imagine Jacob? Yes, Jacob. Yeah. When he's going back to meet his brother, you know, he did so much finagling in that whole, you know, he finagled all of his life. But then when he's about ready to meet Esau again, he started
separating.
He separated the family. You know, he still, you know, he sent everybody before he stayed back. He's the last guy to leave.
Okay. Really lost that. Yeah. Okay.
He's the last person. You know, he even sent the family he liked.
He stacked it.
Yeah, exactly.
He stacked it in from least
right. At least the right. And he's the last guy that left. That's self. That's flesh. Okay.
Till a moment, of course.
Yes, 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 yes. And he couldn't get away from it. The Lord would not let him get away from it.
Wow.
And so he has this encounter.
Mm.
Okay, he has this encounter.
Tough.
Yes. And I'm not letting you go till you bless me. I mean, that's the place we have to come to.
Yeah.
I'm not letting you go. We finally realize, we find it face to face with us. And we don't like what we see.
Mm.
You know, it has prevented us from entering into any joy, any light, any victory, you know. And yet we've had at the disposal all of, you know, the help. You know, who was it? His uncle. He recognized, I'm not letting this guy go because he's been a good blessing to me ever since he's been here. You know, he recognized that this man is a blessing. You're not leaving, boy. So Jacob finally met someone that was a bigger group than he was.
Let's keep him from another 7.
Yeah, another 7 years. You know, but it, you know what? And this is great too for you guys to think about when you be married. Jacob was so in love with his the woman he wanted to marry. Time went by like 7 years was like that. You know, he was, you know, anyway, I don't want to get on that. But he met the Lord, and the Lord finally touched him in a way that he was changed.
Mm.
So praise the Lord. I think that that's...
In other words, in the morning, he went first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
anyways, yeah. So we will do whatever we can to preserve our life. And the Lord is asking us. But the testimony of Jesus now, just you mentioned it yesterday. This is my beloved Son, in whom I will please. So there is a father that is able to relate to the child and train them and teach them. And the Lord was so well trained. Well, we said, well, that's Jesus again. It is, but it's us. He was no different in his relating to the Father as we need to be. And you know, and his whole life as a boy, I must be about my father's business. I mean, you know, and so as he grew older, you know, I do always those things that please my father. Mm. And he realized that it is written in the volume of the book, I've come to do thy will. You know, think about it. If that is our understanding of who we are as the children of God, that we are in this world, okay, for a particular purpose. To serve and to please and to worship God, to represent God. You know, we just have to figure out how to juggle school, this, that, you know. But it's not really figuring it out. Guess what? Put God first. And if you have time for something else, try to do it. You know, anyway, that's how I see it. Okay.
It seems they didn't have that revelation yet, the ability to, you know, do it properly, but now we do.
Except for Abraham. Because the testimony that God said of Abraham was, and I know he will teach his children.
I know, but look at, you know, not only Isaac, you know, what he did, but look at Ishmael and others, you know. So,
yeah, but I think Ishmael is a different... not comparing apples with apples.
No, but we are talking about father being a father and his ability to be father.
Right.
In comparison to
but
what we
Ishmael
believe as an
was
idea.
A result of something that started off on the wrong foot altogether.
I know, but still he was a father of his. And he couldn't handle him. Ishmael was there, you know, till Abraham died. He was there at the funeral. Ishmael was circumcised. You know. And he was actually, you know, coming when Sarah died, you know, when actually Abraham died, Ishmael came with Isaac and they were discussing where to put him, you know. They were his children. And he did, you know, he was teaching Israel and he was putting it on the next generation, but even there he struggled, you know, he staggered.
He was 100.
Hmm?
He was 100 so years old.
Oh, it's not the same matter. As he was like 30 then.
Older parents are good parents.
Say again?
Older parents are good parents.
Yeah, that's not, you know, but it's. I was puzzled by the same, you know. It might be if we think hard, we find a character in the Bible who did succeed as a parent, as a father. I'm not sure, right from the top of my head, but it seems it is something that is for us.
Joseph?
Mm.
New Testament?
Oh,
yes.
I think
yes.
He did a
yes.
fantastic job.
He did
yes.
a fantastic job.
You have one, yes.
Yeah.
Joseph, for sure.
Another question.
Yeah.
I just had a thought concerning that, and what's coming to me is, you know, when Brother Jusiel would talk about people of the Old Testament that were less than perfect, he said you always have to remember that they were missing 3 stars that are available to us now.
Yep.
And so some of their failures were because they didn't have
what is available in the New Testament, meaning the blood,
Christ,
and the Holy Spirit. Yes. So it might be as well the answer concerning the raising of the children.
In other words, it's a job that without the blood, Christ and Holy Spirit, you cannot succeed just by your other righteousness and whatever, you know. And I think all parents can testify to that.
He didn't just succeed.
So I think it's your turn. Joseph went for water, so take a chance.
In Revelation, the man that John bowed before, when reading it, I always, I guess, assumed that he was someone who had died, gone to heaven. But then lately I was reading it again, and the question occurred to me, was he a man from our time? Because, you know, he saw visions of our time, you know, the things that we are living through.
But he was a guide. But the angel was a guide guiding him through the vision.
He's asking.
But he said that I'm a man as you are.
Yes. Call prophet.
So can you find a scripture? Let's look at it together. Where are we? So, where are we? Revelation.
Do you have it repeated?
Okay.
Revelation.
That's
22:9.
Yes, 22:9.
And 19:12.
Then said he unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God.
There's another one.
Yes.
In Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
In other words, from these scriptures, we know he is our brother, and we don't know whether he was from time of John or from our time. So that's the answer. We don't.
It's a theological question.
No. Okay. I mean, he could have come and, you know.
I don't think so.
Well, he was showing them the future. So why he couldn't have him from the future? But anyway, the basic principle is, okay, I have to admit, whenever I have a question from Bible, I distinguish questions which are purely interesting and I give them thought or two, and a question that are useful, and I give them many more thoughts. So this I consider an interesting question, you know, but I don't know how it would change my walk if I knew whether he was from John's or my age, I mean the end of the time age, but I know he was a brother, and we are not supposed to bow down to him. But yes, we can't tell.
Why did God allow people to kill each other in the Old Testament?
Well, what should have he done? Stop them from killing. Would be the question, right?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, what about what about cheating? What about lying? What about adultery? What about cursing? What about spitting? What about walking in dirty shoes on a clean floor? In other words, where would God stop? Would there be bad sins and medium sins? You know, so either you allow God to control man in every aspect and don't allow man to sin, which is no freedom, no sonship, or he has to allow man to, you know, give them a chance to do as they believe, to give them freedom, because he wants children, he wants sons. And that includes freedom to kill, freedom to hurt, freedom to do that. You know, so why did God allow man to disobey? Because he desires for free will obedience.
The difference between killing and murder.
That's another question, of course.
Okay.
I think the question is like the battles that were for, like Jesus, well, God told the Israelites to like
annihilate someone.
Yeah, like the ones where people sin, but like they went to war and
right.
Killed people.
So that's the answer. What Barak is saying, there's difference between murder and killing.
Okay.
You know, and God never allowed murder because murder is a sin. But killing, it was for reason, like in a war. Even today, it was not only the Old Testament. You would have, I like this testimony, I don't know where exactly it was in the United States. There was a shooting in a church. Somebody came, a man, and he, for some reason, went into church. And he shot a couple of people, I believe, on the parking lot.
I think some of our brethren
were.
He was
in Colorado.
Was in Colorado.
It was a few years, some years back.
Somebody from our brethren's brother.
Young man.
Oh, I sat down with the congregation and stuff.
No, that's still.
And then he entered the church, and there was a sister who was a guard.
Security guard.
And she had a testimony. The Lord told her, you know, to fast for that week. And he says, I have important job for you to do on Sunday, but I want you to be fasting. You need to be focused. You know, have you read this story? No? So she was fasting, and she said, she was one of the guards, and they alternated, you know. She was the church member, and it was like her duty that Sunday, you know, like one of 4 weeks in a month, she would have a duty. And that means you are not going to the meeting, you know, you are there guarding at the door. And she says, God, what do you want me to do? Because I have a duty. I'm not going to church. You know, I will be in front of the church at the gate. So why do you say you have an important job for me to do on Sunday when I'm not even... But she obeyed. She says, I had no clue. So she obeyed and she fasted. And she was on fast, actually, that week. And a guy is coming in while he shot two people. You know, she said, I was so sharp, I was totally collected, I was calm, you know, I was bright because of the fasting, you know, I was totally spiritual. And she came and she said, you know, stop that. And she shot him, and he shot him in a way that he wasn't dead, you know.
Just injured him.
And he, you know, she came so calmly, you know, and she says, you can't do this. And he was to pull the bump. You know, he has. If you do this, I have to shoot him. And he did. Almost, he was reaching for it to do it. And so she shut him down, you know. And she said, I wasn't shaking. I wasn't, you know. So, do I believe that it was God who prompted her to do that? I personally, 100%. You know. So, why God ordered her to kill? Well, to protect. You know. And this is an easy one, isn't it? You know, in a way, that's easy one to see. If we go to other places, like we go to war, you know, it's more difficult. But God knew what would be the situation if he did not, you know, you don't know what was happening there in that nation when God sent Israelites, you know, to, what's the word? Annihilate a nation.
God told Saul, go and utterly destroy the Amalekites.
Yes.
This is a kind of check and balance that was in play to check, you know, a nation or a nationality of people that may have been advancing in sin that would jeopardize the timetable of God.
Mm-hmm. And they don't. They didn't.
Yeah, they didn't.
You know, they did not.
Because Esther, in the story of Esther.
Exactly. And the one who was left, possibly a few more, you know, was the Agag guy. Oh, what was his name?
Agag.
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 Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I mean.
In Esther. Haman.
Haman the Agagite, yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he was the descendant
of the
Amalekites, of the king. You know, so you see, if they obeyed, they wouldn't run into this trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so God knew that they are wicked as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And if he didn't do that, you know, the world would be hanging. They're long, because they would be gone. It's like ISIS.
Mm.
You know, and now it's more difficult because there's so many people and all this. But you know, there are certain stupidity we do as Western country, you know, welcoming all this, not realizing that we are importing
refugees. Yeah.
Refugees. We are importing, you know, the problem.
Mm.
I'm not saying don't.
Mentality.
Yes, but you know, in that case, God knew, and He was the one giving instructions. So they are so perverted as a nation, they cannot be healed, and they will be causing trouble forever. You know, God knew that He will still save them, because He knew Christ is coming, and they will end up in a hell where Christ will preach, and they can repent.
Okay.
So, from everlasting point of view, it was not, you know, delete all the kids and give them no chance. No. But from a political or nationalistic way and safety, in that time, that was the best solution, you know, do this.
It's kind of mercy.
But from our perspective, you know, it's we are too humanistic to think like this. Even World War II, you know, I'm glad for Mr. Churchill, you know, who was the one. Actually, U.S. was late. You know, U.S. was negotiating with Germany, type of thing. You know, Roosevelt, that is, and look at Attlee, look at all these people. They were, you know, kind of a, well, maybe we shouldn't. And Churchill was the one who says, no, go get him, go hit, let's war. Because he was realizing, and he said, well, we war, and he says, it's not a political question. It is fundamental moral question, fight. Even if we all die here, fight, because it's evil that has to be rooted out.
Mm.
You know, and he ordered, and he actually talked U.S. into it. You know, into joining him. Of course, the Japanese helped a lot with Pearl Harbor. You know, but the principle is, we are not to be humanistic. We have to be spiritual and understand what God has in mind.
And one more thought. It was apparent that the message about the Israelites and their God preceded Israelites, because Rahab from Jericho,
yes,
talked to the spies, and she said, we have heard about your God. And why did she, out of all the people, you know, grabbed the hope of changing her life, culture, turn her life upside down, and decided to keep those men? There must have been something going on in Jericho and her nation, sort of, that something in her was just not, I don't know, something godly that was in her was not coping with it, and she wanted out of this, at whatever cost.
Look at the dialogue of Abraham and God about Lot and about Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, Sodom actually. when Abraham, in a good sense, you would say humanistically, but in a good sense, he was arguing with God, saying, God, yeah, well, kill the wrong people, but if there would be few people, wouldn't you save them? And God says, well, how many? And he goes down and down, so, you know, down, down, and they were not.
There weren't enough of them.
You know, which was proven when the angels came and they are pulling Lot out, you know.
Still wanted to go back.
See what has happened. You know, and even Lot, the way he was, you know, his mind was, it was kind of righteous, but the way he was about going about it, you know, it's just from us sickening, isn't it? You know.
And his children, even.
You know, so the idea is, we don't want to believe that in the whole city there was nobody that was righteous, that they were all wicked. And God gave Abraham the chance to prove, yes, there was no one, they were all wicked. Even Lot's wife looked back when she was pulled out by force, you know. And look at the daughters.
So, yeah, and what they brought for mid...
Sheepers, creepers, you know. And God still
Moab,
took them,
Moab.
Yes, and God still took them up, out, you know. So I believe that if there would be righteous people, like in Jericho, God would make the effort to save them, and he did. Rahab.
Yes, he did.
And her righteousness is questionable in a sense, you know. But her righteousness was in a way to believe God.
She had
You know, she had the right heart. Wrong job,
yeah,
but the right heart.
And you can see that she was even in the line of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
She was the mother of Boaz, well, grandmother of Boaz.
So, you know, it's difficult for us to imagine it.
Boaz.
Yeah.
One more, and then...
Well, let's say till 5 o'clock, okay? Oh, it's now. Sorry.
Yes. We have one more, then I'm done my list.
Okay, we can do one more.
Did the devil appear to Jesus as a man or a spirit?
Yes.
Yes. As a man or a spirit?
Yeah.
As a man or a spirit?
And the answer is yes.
Mathematically answered.
In other words, yes, he appeared to Jesus as a man or a spirit.
Oh.
No, seriously. We don't really know. It doesn't really matter. Obviously, they were moving, and Jesus was normally moving between a spiritual and natural. Did he take him to physical places?
Yes.
No. Because there's no place on the earth, now we know it's round, right?
Yeah.
That you see all the kingdoms.
Yeah.
So he must have been taking him to spiritual places, you know. But had he walked to him as a man? Was it both man and a spirit? I suppose. I don't know. But definitely it doesn't matter.
Oh! That's cool.
Amen.
Any more questions, guys?
Well, next year.
Well,
it might be in 2 days, but.
That's a few days.
Oh.
that's old.
Well, nothing stops us to, you know, have a tomorrow evening.